I say that, brothers and sisters, because there is a difference between someone who reads scripture who does not know Jesus and someone who does know Jesus. Amen? God's word works powerfully when people read it, even if they don't know him, but it is especially effective when people hear it from one who believes it. I remember in Germany one time I was leading a class of English as a second language using the book of Luke. And one of the people who came to learn English stopped at a moment in the reading of God's word and the way that we were talking about it. And he said to me, "You really believe this, don't you?" And I didn't know what else to say. Of course, I believed it. And so I said, "Yes, I do." And this was a person who was used to hearing in Germany many times the word of God spoken, but by people who didn't believe it. We need to put our faith into action and to speak the words of God to a lost generation. Now today, we have a tremendous lesson from God in his word that comes to us in many different aspects that are such a blessing. And I have to say that sometimes come upon us unexpectedly, and God puts it on our hearts to talk about things that we didn't anticipate talking about. But that's the wonder of God. And that is the thing that keeps our faith from being mundane, being everyday. It is the working of the Holy Spirit in us so that we are on fire for God. And he lights that fire under us so that we can speak freely about what we believe in ways that are going to be actual. That means be real for people today in the lives that they are living. And that is the kind of God that we meet in his son, Jesus Christ, who comes to people in a real way into their lives, appearing before them in this remarkable setting in the word found in Luke 24, 36b through 48 today. Jesus comes and speaks to his disciples. He speaks to his disciples and he says, "I'm not a spirit. You can touch me. You can see. Give me something to eat. You know, give me some fish. I can eat." You know, he's reaching out to them. He's showing them that he is not merely this vision of a God somehow that is unrelatable, but he is a very real person speaking to them. In fact, he is the same one who came to them, and he reminds them of the words that he spoke while he was still with them, before he was killed on the cross, before he died on the cross, that he was the fulfillment of that promise of a Messiah spoken of through Moses and the prophets. And so he's reminding us today also that he is that Jesus that came from heaven and left all of the glory that was his in heaven in accordance with the Father's will to come to earth to bring salvation for sinful mankind and to bring them back into the fold. And that is really the crux of what we're going to be talking about today, that Jesus was saying here, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." What he means there is that they are witnesses of him coming into the world and dying on the cross and being raised from death, from the grave, and appearing to them now. They are witnesses of the fulfillment of God's promise to save mankind from sin. And that is what they are to proclaim to all of the nations. And that is we as the church are to do as well. And we are continuing to remind ourselves of these things as we move along in these weeks after Easter and all through our lives, that that is our commission. That is our work for God, to tell them about Jesus. We know him because he has come into our lives and he has washed away our sins and given us eternal life. This reminds me of another reading. This past week, I sent out to the youth parents And I'll be sending it out to everyone, something that is called the lectionary. And in the lectionary, there are readings from the Bible that were assembled by wonderful people in the church, in the history of the church, who came together and they wanted to provide for church people, right, and others outside the church, whoever would read it, a daily reading in God's Word, beginning with the Old Testament, the Psalms, right, from Genesis through the end of the Old Testament, right, and then going into the Gospels, and a reading from that each day, and also from the Epistles. And these books are written down in a loving way to remind us the year that we go through, right, in accordance with what happened in the life of Christ and what happened in God's plan of salvation, so that we can see God's Word at work. But one of the readings for this week, along with this one from Luke, was one in which Peter was talking to a crowd of people who had seen them heal a man who was lame, and they said, we can't give you any money, but we will give you what we have. And so they prayed over him in the name of Jesus Christ, and the man was healed, and he stood up, and the people wondered about that. And so you see, Peter was a witness of Jesus Christ, and he knew him, right? And he spoke these words to the people who were amazed at what happened to this lame man. It says, his name and faith in his name has made this man strong. It means his name, Jesus' name, and faith in his name, in Jesus' name, has made this lame man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And so it's this Jesus Christ who they knew, right? And they knew was the Savior, and that he had given them this authority to go and to heal people in his name. And the people saw this man and who they knew. And he was once in a much different state. He was lame, and he had been lame for years. And every day they saw him there, and that now they saw him walking and praising God for what had happened to him. And that is how he knows Jesus Christ. He knows Jesus Christ through his faith in him. He knows Jesus Christ through his disciples who prayed for him in the name of Christ, believing in him because they knew him. And they knew the power that was real in him in his death and resurrection. And that power was at work in them through the Holy Spirit, bringing life into this man's legs and causing him then to get up and to rise. And that is exactly what happens in our lives when we have Jesus' forgiveness in our lives. We are lame, and then we stand up and we walk. And that is how we know him, through the gospel in that way. And so Peter was someone who knew Jesus so well, but he knew him in the most important way, as the one who had commissioned them to go and to proclaim his name so that other people would be saved. Paul, the apostle Paul, knows Christ. We know that the way he speaks about him, and it's very powerful in his writing. Let me read to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so this is a powerful example again of someone who knows Christ, and he wants to know him even more. He wants to know him so thoroughly that there isn't anything that will get in his way of the resurrection that he has been promised through his faith in Jesus Christ. This is such a great reading here of something. But if people didn't know who Paul was, right, they may not appreciate what it was that he wrote. But this is a man who hated Christians and was transformed through Jesus Christ, the compassion and the grace of Jesus Christ that came upon him and changed his life, calling him away from that life, and one that was really in the law, really a person who knew the law very well, but did not know the grace of Christ Jesus until he came into his life. And that is what Jesus brought into Peter's life, who was, he was steeped in the law. He was knowledgeable of the law. He was looking forward to a Messiah who was going to come and who was going to rule with the law. But what he received was Jesus Christ, who came with the love of God and the grace of God. And that was the New Testament theme. And this is what Paul does as well. He has tasted the truth that is found in Christ Jesus Christ, that it is grace that he is saved by, right? Yet when he was still a sinner, Christ came and died for him and washed away his sins and made him into a disciple. And Christ was his savior and he knew him as such. And so he says here, I want to know Christ more than anything. I'll give up everything in my life so that I can know Christ. And that is what the message is to us. Do we not also see Christ in that way, that he has died for me, his grace is so great, and he has shown compassion on me, so that I will then follow him, and I will also tell others of him because of this grace. It's an amazing thing that he has done here. And so their lives, these two men, their lives were changed from the old to the new. The understanding that of who God is through Jesus, the Son of God. And they wanted to know him more than anything or anything, anyone else in life, because they knew he was real and someone to know. Amen. Jesus Christ, also knows. He also knows. And I want to turn our attention to some valuable teaching that God gives us in his word on this knowing of Jesus and understanding him and how it relates to us as his followers, as his people, indeed as his family. I was reading in the book of John this past week with a brother, and we're going through the Gospel of John. And this is something that I have done recently more often, and I want to encourage you each to identify someone that you can read through the Gospel of John with. All it takes is asking someone to do it. And you begin to read through the Gospel of John together. Well, in chapter 8, when we got to this chapter 8, this amazing chapter, there were words written in verses 42 and 54 through 55. It's actually the whole section there, where Jesus is speaking to Pharisees who are not living in a way that shows that they know God. And Jesus is calling them out on this. And he says to them in verse 42, chapter 8 of John, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." In verse 54 and 55, Jesus says, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word." Amazing words from Jesus. And the words that really grabbed my attention, and I believe what God was speaking to me about that he wanted me to share today, is the fact that he says, "I know him." And when we think about this, and when I started to ponder what Jesus was saying here, what he was saying was, "I know him because I am one with him. And I also know him because I came from him." Which means that Jesus was one in the glory with God the Father in heaven before he came to earth. Now, how much better can someone know the Father than that? And what is so striking about this, and what should really impact us in our lives, is that Jesus Christ left his heavenly abode, his glory there, and came with the message from the Father, from heaven to earth, to give to us. So this is not just simply a word that we read in our Bibles, but it is a word from God the Father to us through the Son, Jesus Christ, who knows the Father. And what Jesus also tells the Pharisees there is that you don't know him in this way, like I do. And so it is good for you to start. It's good for you to understand who I am and the message that I have for you and for all people. And the sooner you do it, the better it will be for all of you. And he goes on also to say, I do know him and I keep his word. I obey my Father's word. And that is exactly what Jesus is. When we think of him, it is someone who knows God because he was with God in heaven, came to earth, and with that knowledge shared what the Father wanted him to say. And not only that, but he went to the cross according to the Father's will, because he keeps the Father's word. And not only that, but he lived his entire life without sin. He kept the word of the Father in the way that he lived. And that is what we need to understand and in knowing Jesus Christ, that he knows the Father. Think about that for a moment and try to take that in and the impact of that. He knows the Father personally, and he keeps his word. When we think about the Father in heaven, we are brought into this now, this theme here that God wants and desires for us to look at as we think about knowing Christ and then sharing what we know with other people or helping others to know Jesus. Jesus' relationship to the Father is so important for us to know him and who he is to us. God so loved the world, God the Father so loved the world that he gave his beloved Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. The Father loves us so much, but he loves his Son and gave him as the answer for our sins, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The purpose of the Son, is found in a study that we need to really spend time with in learning today. And there's actually a second part that goes hand in hand with this that is called the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation for our sins. To fulfill the purpose of the Father, he became the propitiation for our sins. He became the sacrifice on the cross to appease the wrath of the Father that was intent upon the sins of mankind, taking it upon himself and achieving in person the love of the Father for sinful mankind. And so propitiation is a tremendously important teaching of the Bible that we need to understand so that we would know Jesus Christ, right? And you can look in your Bibles and find it there. First of all, I want to read a verse from John 14:6 that says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this teaching here today, in knowing Christ, we will know the way to our Father. We will know the way to the Father. We are away from the Father. We are not children of his. We are broken off. We are orphans because of our sin. But the Father sends the Son, the perfect Son, the Holy One without sin, to die in our place, to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me read you some scripture. Romans 3:21-26. Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the right time, at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Take this scripture home and read over it and memorize it. Take it to heart and you will know Jesus Christ. You will know him and what he is, he represents. He is the grace of God personified. Through the redemption that is in him, we are saved. Through this propitiation that he became, that God put forward by his blood to be received by faith. And this shows God's righteousness. But he passed over our sins. He was so loving and so kind, so righteous that he would look down on sinful mankind and save them through his own son. In Hebrews 2:17, it says, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now this is going to, we're going to get to this part a little bit later, but pay attention to this incredible speaking here in God's word. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, like human beings, we, right? So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Knowing Christ is to know him as someone who became like us. And he mentions brothers. And so there's this family language that comes in today. And so brothers and sisters, God is calling us into a deeper understanding of what it means to be family, to be brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And the immense beauty of that and the preciousness of it that we heard in the opening song today, how beautiful, how wonderful, what a blessing it is when we are at peace with one another. It is an example of what God is looking for in us as his saved children. And this leads to another very important teaching of the Bible that recently I have been reading in a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. If you don't have a copy of that, please get one. Knowing God by J.I. Packer. It will take time to study it. It's not a book that you would, you know, read before when you're trying to relax or something. You really need to read it with an intention of learning God's word, and the things that he brings out in that book help us to know God. What a great man he was to do that for us. But what he brings out in one of the chapters is the negligence on the part of Christians to the teaching of adoption. To this teaching of adoption, and it really leads us into this whole theme of being children of God. Listen to these words in Galatians. Chapter 3, 4-7. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And so you see this adoption language here, right? We who were under law, we are now receiving adoptions as sons under the grace of God. And so there is this teaching here that is helping us to be able to see, yes, that we are away from God. But now we are coming into the family of God through Jesus Christ, our brother, who is the Son of God, who is the propitiation for our sins, who died so that we would have this restoration, this bringing back into the family that God had planned for us. Let me quote J.I. Packer for you. It is clear that just as Jesus always thought of himself as Son of God in a unique sense, so he also thought of his followers as children of his heavenly Father, members of the same divine family as himself. Isn't that amazing? Early in his ministry, we find him saying in Mark 3:35, "Whosoever shall do the will of the God, the same is my Father and my sister and my mother." And so Jesus is bringing us into this familial place so that we are brothers with him. We are sisters with one another, brothers and sisters and mother. We are family because of what he has done here. In our memory verse today in the bulletin, if you have the bulletin, you can look it up there. But in 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him." And so that is the impulse, that is the direction that God is drawing us in here, so that we need to let people know him. Because we know him. And it is not good that we continue to know him and not let others know him. And how are they going to do that if they don't hear about Jesus Christ who came and died on the cross for their sins, rose again, and offered the free gift of life to anyone who would believe in him as being their Savior? We go on to the Holy Spirit in adoption and our inheritance. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 14 to 17, it says these powerful words, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Peter also speaks about these things in the first chapter of 1 Peter, talking about how we are to endure through times of suffering in this life because we have an inheritance in heaven waiting for us. Jesus spoke of the things that I was praying about today and mentioning the brothers and sisters who we lost this past year that we will one day see again. Isn't that an amazing thought? Because of our connection as family, as the sons and daughters of God. And he has brought us back into that relationship to himself through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. He is so good to us to do that. And it deepens our appreciation of one another in that way as well. But you can see in those scriptures, and it's not just in those scriptures, but throughout scripture, we can see how God is drawing us as the Father, his children, to himself into the family again. Phil Yancey wrote another wonderful book called The Jesus I Never Knew. I know somebody, actually, who read that book, and that book lit a fire in him because of his teaching about Jesus. And this was the person who had strayed away from God. And he read that book and it really spoke to him. And he returned to God the Father and is serving God now full time. Let me read a couple of quotes from Phil Yancey. "Jesus reveals a God who comes in search for us. A God who makes room for our freedom, even when it costs the Son's life. A God who is vulnerable. Above all, Jesus reveals a God who is love. When we know Jesus, we know God's love. In a nutshell, he goes on to say, the Bible from Genesis 3 to Revelation 22 tells the story of a God reckless with desire to get his family back. And the Bible's last scene, like the parable of the lost son, ends in jubilation, the family reunited once again. And that is what God has planned for us in heaven, a family reunion, one that he had formed in the beginning in Genesis, and it was broken by sin. But God had planned even before that time for a reconnect, a reconciliation, for the disconnect that was caused by sin, so that we would be one with him in that way. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we know him as Savior, as our friend, indeed as our brother, then we are the children of God. Do you know that you're a child of God today? Do you have that kind of a relationship with God? Do you understand that Jesus Christ went to the cross, dying a terrible death, being the propitiation for your sins, pouring out his blood in your place, in my place, so that we would be saved from death that comes from sin? That is the joy of the Bible, to know that God has given himself, his very best for us, and he is risen from the grave and reigns in power now, is coming again, and is going to take all of us home to be with him forever. And so when we see the Bible in that way, that Phil Yancey has helped us to see it, that from Genesis all the way to the end to Revelation tells a story of a God that is desiring to get his family back. And that is every human being that has this faith in Jesus Christ, that they believe that he is the Savior of the world, and that they claim also as their brother. The Bible promises that we share with Christ in his glory. When I was thinking about how, and even today when I was walking down the hallway in the church and I was thinking, Jesus, you are my brother, I stopped for a moment. I thought, dare I say that, Jesus? Dare I say that you, who have reigned before all time and who is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of all things, and you were present when all things came into being, and without you, nothing would be made that is made. And yet I am allowed the honor of saying brother to you. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord, in my sinfulness. Have mercy upon me. Help me to cherish that thought and to think that if you're my brother, What kind of a brother am I? And then in extending into the church, if Jesus is our brother, what kind of brothers and sisters are we to him? And what kind of brothers and sisters are we to one another? Doesn't that cause us to take care in the way we treat one another? In the way that we treat this relationship that has been given to us at such a cost? To our beloved brother and Savior, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And to know that the Holy Spirit is going to be bringing us into that kind of a relationship and fostering that as we go along in life, so that we preserve that and that we do as Jesus did, to do the work of the Father, not just to know him, but to do his will. These are the things that God is desiring for us. And it is all working in the direction of a celebration, a family reunion. And so now we know, when we hear those words, that when someone confesses a faith in Jesus Christ, that the angels in heaven are celebrating because they're all family. And it gives new meaning to the prodigal son who goes off and comes back, and the family, the father throws a party for them. And then we see that not being something that is an earthly thing, but a heavenly thing that is going to be experienced by those who are lost in the world, but know Christ as their Savior. And they know who they have believed in and where they are going. And so when people come up to you and they say, do you really believe that? And you say, you better believe I believe it. Because it's the truth, man, and Christ Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. You should have seen me before. And I know his hand upon me when I feel it. Because he's not just a God who speaks in some kind of a spooky way or a spiritual way. He's one who clasps onto my hand as though he were here because he is here. That's the kind of relationship we need to have and to proclaim, I know him. I know him. Let me tell you about him and how I know him. And I'll tell you how he came into my life and changed me from a sinful person into one who's forgiven and has a heavenly eternity before me. We are united in love in our church, brothers and sisters. That is our theme. We are united in love, and it is the love of God that we are united in. It's not the love that we have. The only love that exists that is worth and of true worth is the love of God. And we have been touched by it. And so that love compels us, as Paul, borrowing words from Paul, compels us to change in the way that we think and the way that we live, to love one another with a perfect kind of love that comes from the Father, to lay ourselves down in the things that we want for ourselves so that we will remain in peace and that God will be praised and be glorified and that he will be happy in the way that his family is living together. We are a family of the Father and of the Son and of the and the Holy Spirit. And Christ is our brother. And through the Spirit which helps us with increasing, these are words of Packer, with increasing clarity, the meaning of our family relationship with God in Christ. And the Holy Spirit leads us to an ever deeper response to God in this relationship. So may God lead us in Grace Church to an even deeper response of our relationship to him and a deeper understanding and response to God in the relationship that he has formed for us as his body. I'd like to share, just to end today's sermon, I'd like to share a slide that also has some wonderful words from J.I. Packer about God and what God lay on his heart. It says this, do I know my own real identity, my own real destiny? I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother and sister too. J.I. Packer said that what we should do as Christians is begin and end each day with this question and these words and proclaim them. Let's say it together, okay? Beginning from I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother and sister too. Amen. Let us sing a song of response.